I call to order the September 5th, 2019 City of Lakeville Planning Commission meeting. Please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Henny, will you please call the roll of members?
Swenson?
Here.
Morovich?
Here.
Liliay?
Here.
Kaluza?
Here.
Eink? Witte?
Here.
Dranning?
Here.
Approval of the August 15th, 2019 Planning Commission meeting minutes. Fellow commissioners, do you have any changes to the minutes? Seeing none, the minutes will stand as presented. Announcements. Director Morey, do you have any announcements for us?
Good evening, Mr. Chair and Planning Commission members. I do have a couple of announcements. First, to draw your attention to an email that we received today from a resident regarding agenda item number five. The resident is in favor of the city keeping the storm shelter requirement in the zoning ordinance, and we can have a conversation on that after the presentation this evening. And then secondly, to remind the Planning Commission that immediately following the regular meeting, we will have a work session discussion in the Marion Conference Room to talk about the CMU bus tour that the Planning Commission and City Council took in July. And that concludes my announcements for this evening's meeting. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That brings us to agenda item number five, City of Lakeville. This is a public hearing to consider amendments to Title 11 zoning of the Lakeville City Code concerning storm shelters. And we have Director Morey that will present this for us.
Again, thank you, Mr. Chair, and good evening, Planning Commission members. Just a brief how we got to where we are today. If you recall, at your July 18th meeting, the Planning Commission held a public hearing on what we were calling phase one of our annual zoning ordinance update, and that included a lot of housekeeping things that we'd been tracking for the past year since we had our last update. And the Planning Commission made recommendations on a number of sections, both in the subdivision ordinance and the zoning ordinance, and of particular importance and why we're having this conversation this evening was the regulations related to storm shelters. In that particular section of the zoning ordinance, 1117-27, sets aside the requirements for storm shelters for slab-on-grade residential dwellings. That ordinance went to the City Council at their August 5th meeting. There was quite a bit of discussion regarding the storm shelter requirements. And again, if you remember, the Planning Commission staff had recommended some changes to that section to provide a little bit more flexibility in terms of providing storm shelters, but still keeping the requirement. The City Council directed staff, they pulled that section out of the phase one zoning ordinance update. They passed all of the other provisions of the change. They pulled that section out, and then they directed staff to have a public hearing and go back and consider the an amendment that would strike all of the requirements for storm shelters out of the zoning ordinance. So we had to have a new public hearing, and it does include that section 1117-27. But it also includes sections, the specific district sections where the wording is in place that affect the RST2 district, the RM1 district, and the RM2 district. So you can see I've included with your packet a red line of the ordinance that would strike all of that language. I also did include a copy of the minutes from the August 5th council meeting, and for reference purposes, I included the changes that were proposed and recommended by the Planning Commission at the July 18th meeting. And I can stand for any questions you might have.
Thank you very much. This is a public hearing. If any members of the public wish to address this agenda item, please come forward.
Mr. Chair.
Commissioner Drotning.
Seeing no one come forward or else in the audience, move to close the public hearing.
Second.
So motion and a second to close the public hearing. All those in favor of closing the public hearing signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed? The public hearing is now closed. Fellow commissioners, anyone like to start.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Swenson.
So having this item back in front of us tonight brought me back to some of the conversations and discussions we had in workshops that led up to our discussion on loosening these standards a little bit. And I think as a group, we generally were in agreement that these were important standards, an important safety consideration that we had built into our ordinances. So now that it's back in front of us with the idea to remove that entirely from the ordinances, a couple of things kind of popped into my mind as I was looking at this and thinking about this. And there were some comments made about weather forecasting and how weather forecasting has gotten much better and can be something that leads us into a situation where folks are able to predict and get to a place of shelter earlier, that type of thing. I think the interesting thing about that is with technology and our phones and everything else today blaring warnings at us all the time, we'd like to think that this kind of forecasting is fail-safe, that everything is forecasted for us. We know exactly what's going to happen. Just doing a little bit of digging into this, and you can get these same statistics from the National Weather Service. 75% of tornado warnings that are out there are actually false alarms. And so as a society, we tend to start to think people are crying wolf and we don't pay attention to a lot of these alarms when they're out there. So you have that. And then the other piece is 25% of tornadoes that occur never have a warning issued for them, or the warning occurs after the tornado hits the ground. So that's a safety thing in my mind, that if you're going to rely on technology to try and say, hey, I need to get to a safe place, one out of four times you're going to be wrong in that prediction. So that, to me, that's a pretty startling statistic. And those are all statistics you can get straight from the National Weather Service as far as what their capabilities are. We're a lot better than we were, say, in the 1990s, but we still have a long ways to go. And it's kind of plateaued in the last 10 years as far as what our abilities to do that are. So I think it's important to recognize the limitations of what forecasting could do for safety. I have some other things to say, but maybe I have some other folks chime in with their thoughts as well. But that's just one comment I have in response to some of the things that I heard council debate at their meeting as we're thinking about these standards.
Mr. Chair?
Sure.
Last time I talked about the safety aspect, I had the I've been able, as a former police officer, work during straight line winds and saw the destruction they did in Burnsville. And it took down some buildings. You had to go building to building. You had to go house to house, checking to make sure everyone was okay. And that came up out of, you know, minutes. And I was on the road at the time, and I remember just piling people into a refrigerator at McDonald's, and the wind is, and the rain's going straight through the thing, and people didn't have time to think. And I think seconds, minutes, all matter. And if this is something that we have, I feel as a city, we have a duty to protect the safety and the welfare of our citizens, and to look out for that. And this is an easy thing to do on the front end to ensure it, because we don't have a pressure of time on us. We got time to make good, clear thoughts and decisions here. So in the event of a natural disaster, unfortunately, in the city of Lakeville, all our resources are going to be pouring into this. But if it's not losing lives on situations that could have been avoided and the decisions were made on a clear opening like tonight, I think that makes us better. There's going to be, as I read that letter, that kid, there's going to be kids that might be left at home when a storm pops up. There could be someone elderly, and they might not be able to get to a certain place. But if they know where their shelter is in their house, and a parent can direct them, or they know where to go at that moment that siren goes off, they can go right in there, and it's that peace of mind. And as a city, I think we'll be doing our citizens a lot of good by doing that. You know, you talk about technology. The other night when the storms are rolling through, I got my DirecTV on, the storms come, the weather is all gone, I got a blank screen, and I can't even figure out on the radar where everything's going. So you're so dependent on these sirens too. So in the time of when things are getting crunched and panic, they need a clear idea where to go. And I think this makes a lot of sense.
Director Morey, maybe you can help answer a question for me.
Mm-hmm.
If we repeal this ordinance, correct me if I'm wrong, but manufactured housing, our manufactured housing communities in Lakeville still, they have access to a community shelter, and that's not in our ordinance, that's state statute, correct?
That's correct, and the manufactured home parks are protected by those state statutory requirements. It would not, those state statute requirements would not apply to a slab-on-grade townhome or a slab-on-grade single-family home that's outside of a manufactured home park.
Okay, thank you.
Don't you guys want to go?
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Drottning.
Maybe Mr. Morey, because this ordinance came into play, I think maybe, you know, I play the historian game, but Mr. Morey's got this one nailed, and I think there's value in having a discussion about how we got to where we are today and what the purpose was, and maybe even go through some of the modifications that have been made to strengthen it and streamline it. And Mr. Morey, you are truly the one that's best equipped to do that.
Thank you, Commissioner Drottning. And as I've reflected on this, I mean, this ordinance has been discussed at Planning Commission work sessions, council work sessions, obviously the public hearing, the meeting tonight. And we're in a great spot. If you look at the walls here, there's pictures of past city administrators, past mayors, past city council members. I can go look at those pictures and I can point to the vast majority of them that I've worked under since I've been here for over 31 years. The history behind this pertains to one of those city council members. Her name was Betty Sint, and she was on the city council when I started in 1998 and through the 1990s and into the early 2000s. She lived in a manufactured home park, Country View, and she was the survived but was part of a severe storm in Lakeville that involved straight line winds that really impacted that community. And so it was something that she was very passionate about and wanted to put into ordinance that there be protection not only for the residents of manufactured home parks, but anybody who's in a dwelling that doesn't have a basement, a slab-on-grade dwelling. And that was incorporated into our 1998 comprehensive plan update. And also then into the subsequent zoning ordinance update, which was adopted in 2000. So since 2000, the storm shelter regulation has been in place. So we're over 19 years of that, of having that in place. It's been modified over the years, as Commissioner Drottning mentioned. It's been tweaked. When it first was enacted, basically the provision was for there to be a storm protection either internal to the unit or in a separate community type structure, much like you would have in a manufactured home park. It changed over the years and was modified. The community option came, structure option came out, and the internal to the unit provision was tightened up to say that it must be in a laundry room or in a bathroom and built to FEMA standards. This year's discussion with this year's zoning ordinance update was to provide more flexibility. And we've heard from builders, and there's new technologies, and I'm going to say new, quote unquote, because some of them you may think it's kind of harking back to a different time. But for example, there is now prefabricated basically metal structures that they can put in the floor of the garage. So it would be a door that you would open up from the garage floor and you would go into this, much like the Wizard of Oz had the storm shelter there. They can also bolt these structures to the floor of the garage and have them put in a corner. So knowing this information that, again, was provided by builders to us, and knowing that the Planning Commission and City Council was willing to consider providing a little bit more flexibility, the ordinance that the Planning Commission recommended in July added those components. So it basically took out the fact that it has to be a bathroom or a laundry room, just somewhere internal to the unit within the residence itself or in the garage or we added back in the central storm shelter building within the community. So we've provided this flexibility that gives the builders more options to provide that protection, but still keeping the storm shelter requirement.
Mr. Chair, having been in two tornadoes myself, one fortunately enough was actually in a mall where they have a significant storm shelter, but coming out of that, we didn't have any windows in the side of our car and had to drive home like that. And just recently in the June storm, I think that hit here in Lakeville where the cell was passing over us. It wasn't an actual tornado that touched down, but the winds and the hail were incredibly bad. I was driving through that to try to get home with my son in the back of the car. And I panicked a little bit because I have an unfinished basement and I have windows on one side, and I wasn't sure of what was the best place to go in my basement because of the windows being there and having it unfinished, where I couldn't imagine someone who didn't have a shelter what they would feel. I mean, I have a basement, but I still panicked because I didn't even know which corner was like the best corner to go in. So I think, and having been in a tornado, I think it's incredibly important that we offer that protection. I think the storms have gotten significantly worse over the past few years, especially I moved from Burnsville to Lakeville, so it wasn't that far of a distance, but the storms that we've already had, being less than 2 years in our home here, have already been worse than we ever had in Burnsville, which is surprising. But I mean, I already have hail damage on my house and shingles missing and everything else. So I think it is getting stronger and that protection's important.
Thank you. I want to echo what you just said. I was also driving in that June storm, and luckily I was relatively close to home, but when I was driving through it, I thought, well, this isn't that bad. And then I heard the sirens go off. Well, it's not that bad. And two blocks later, and I was racing to get home, and the feeling that I could get home and be safe, I can't imagine not having that feeling where, you know, if you are caught out there and you know if you get home, you won't have a place to go. I mean, that's a concern for me. And I will say, one of the things that I appreciate about this city is when we're approached by stakeholders with concerns about some of our ordinances, that we have a history of providing flexibility while at the same time not compromising the underlying intent of that ordinance. And I believe that if we repeal this ordinance, we're not going in the right direction. And I, for one, am going to be voting no. I think that the ordinance that we sent to council on July 18th provided that flexibility without compromising the underlying intent of something that I think has really been a very strong ordinance for this city. And I really do appreciate having it in our city.
If I could, Mr. Chair, just going to add a personal touch to this. I too was part of that June storm. I was on my way home, which luckily I live not too far from right here where I work. And you know, I got in the door, and my son, who's 21, was home too, and we both went to the basement immediately, having that option. And that's right where we made a beeline to go. So having that was definitely peace of mind. The other thing I would say is, and I know there's been some comment as part of the council work session discussion, is that there's only two communities that have this ordinance in Minnesota, Lakeville and Otsego. And my dad told me a long time ago when I was young, he said, be a leader, not a follower. And I think being a leader in this particular case is a very good thing.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Sure, Swenson.
So another thought in all this that I believe has come up in some of the conversation about this is some discussion about, I think it was the Builders Association submitted a letter about the cost of these features and trying to use a bit of an argument that we need to think about affordability of our housing. I'm fully on board with the thought that affordability of our housing stock is an important consideration
as we're putting these things together. I think I struggle with a bit of a disconnect in using that argument with this item where it's a health and safety feature that's going into a home. We do have lots of building codes that dictate various health and safety things that go into our homes. We can talk about smoke detectors. If you look at how code has evolved over the years, where once upon a time it was you have to have a smoke detector in the house. Well, if we look at our houses now, we have a smoke detector on every level. You have one in every room or every bedroom in the house. They're interconnected. You know, so you have all these things that have been dictated through years of events and things occurring to the public. So sometimes building code takes a long time to change and evolve in reaction to incidents that occur in the public. And I kind of view this in that light, that this is a feature that we're looking to incorporate into our homes as a safety feature. We think and we feel generally that this is an important thing that's important enough. We have it codified in our ordinances to put it there in advance of anything that any building code might say and do. I think the other thing that I think about when we think of the affordability conversation, we've had this ordinance in the books for 19 years, and if I'm not mistaken, for many of those years, we've been one of the leading communities in terms of new single-family residences that have been constructed. If you can correct me if I'm wrong when I say that.
I can tell you we have been for the past 6 years.
And what that starts to indicate to me that is that on a competitive basis, even though we have the standard in place, our pricing with our homes is competitive relative to what is on the rest of the market across the Twin Cities. That this is not a competitive disadvantage to build a home in Lakeville and have to incorporate this cost into the structure. I'm respectful that builders and developers are entitled to some level of profit as they build their structures. But again, I think the market demand is there that drives pricing more so than just what one safety feature does to dictate the pricing of a product. So I'm pretty adamant about that in my feelings.
Mr. Chair.
Commissioner Drottning.
Maybe too, could you help us with when the Community Development Agency does a project and we've got half a dozen or so? Mm-hmm. I mean, we have quite a few. Mm-hmm. And they've done a really good job in our community, and I think many of the communities in Dakota County, but we work very closely as a community with the CDA to try and assist them in affordability. And there's areas that we adjust the parking standards and allow tandem parking and tweak some of the ordinances that we do. And when it's a CDA project, we're not quite as concerned about some of the maintenance things, so we give a little more flexibility there. But maybe you could just talk about, do we have any CDA? Has the CDA ever said anything? Because if it's that expensive, you would think it would be something they'd be concerned about.
Right. And as Commissioner Drottning had mentioned, we do have provisions in our zoning ordinance for affordable housing products, specifically related to townhomes, where if affordable housing product is being offered, there's certain performance standards in the ordinance that they would not necessarily have to follow. The garage parking is one. The exterior building materials, landscaping, these things are things that are exempt for developers of affordable housing projects. We did not exclude the storm shelter, the Safe Room Begin, because this is a life safety issue. The CDA never even if we would have exempted it, they would still have included it because they felt it is important. And we reached out to the CDA when, you know, this started to become an issue late last year and asked them generally how much does it cost per unit to provide this storm shelter room internally within their dwellings and townhome dwellings, and they said about $4,500.
You still have the silent one over there.
Mr. Chair.
Commissioner Lillehei.
I am silent, and only because I don't feel that I have much to add. You are all well-spoken and thoughtful about what you've brought forward and your thoughts. I hearken back to my youth where my family is, my mother's from the Kansas area, and at that time they had root cellars. And I don't think we're going to invite root cellars back into Lakeville. But I use it to be the example that says I always knew where to go. That was the basement of our home. And I'm mindful that it's a place that my children know is the place to go if there are issues related to weather in our home. And I'm thinking through what it would be like to be in a home and be a youth or be slow to get to my feet and move somewhere where I'd have to go several hundred yards or perhaps drive somewhere. And I'm thankful for the conversation we as a planning commission had several weeks ago about this. I think we came up with a very meaningful compromise as it relates to offering different options. And there's nothing that's been presented tonight that doesn't leave me in the same place. I think we presented a good set of code to be considered. I'm not in support of changing what we had presented. That's why I've been silent. You guys are all so well-spoken about this particular issue. Thank you for letting me share my words.
Thanks. Director Morey, maybe we can provide some education to those that may be watching. If we reject the repeal of this ordinance, can you kind of tell me what would be presented to City Council?
So here's the direction that the City Council put forth at their August 5th meeting. And if the Planning Commission, and we ask that you make a motion in the affirmative, and how you vote on that is up to you. But if the Planning Commission does not vote to support repealing the storm shelter ordinance, what will go to the City Council will be the July 18th recommendation that you had, that they were presented on August 5th, this repeal of the ordinance with your recommendation of not supporting that. And then there's always the option that they could keep the language as it is today. So they're really going to have three options at their meeting, and that would go to their September 16th meeting if the Planning Commission moves this evening.
Thank you. And just for everyone that may be watching, we provide a recommendation to the City Council. They are the ones that have been elected. They are the ones that get a final voice on this matter. So just so that everyone knows that this isn't the final stop for this ordinance.
Mr. Chair.
Commissioner Drottning.
I've had two of my employees that both live in products that have the storm shelters, and they both appreciate it. Talked to one of them today, who's a current employee, and she's still living in there, and she was very pleased that when her daughter could go into the storm shelter when she wasn't home. The tweaking that we did, removing it from having it be the crawl space under the stairs, which was what kind of the option that was being provided, to an active room so it wouldn't fill up with storage, which is unfortunately what happens, because we all know we're never going to get hit by a storm. But so I'm very comfortable with the ordinance that we recommended to council, and they'll have to make their own decision. But the after this ordinance was put in place, and that was in 2000, and I sat on the council then when it was put in place, had the pleasure of knowing Betty Sint, and working with her and other council members at that time, and pretty much, of course, the council and mayor, it's turned over many times since then. But of course, what we heard was, oh, no one's going to want to buy it, it's going to be too much expensive, and all those kind of things. And what we were hearing is people were looking at Farmington's product and then coming back to Lakeville and buying Lakeville's product because we had a better product. So if we as a community want to deliver the best possible product to our current and future residents, that's why it's very easy for me to ask that the council reconsider and support the ordinance that we sent to them. And I think, if I may, Chair, I'd like to read the letter. You know, we get documents all the time from customers, but I think it says a lot what we're thinking, and I think it reinforces, you know, for everybody what we're talking about. And I'll try and get through it, but it's really quite touching. And I don't have my cedars. Good morning. I'm writing this because I'm unable to make it to the Planning Commission meeting tonight for the public hearing on storm shelters, but I feel my opinion needs to be stated. I've lived in Lakeville for over 5 years now, and before that, 16 years just over the border in Farmington. When we downsized, I picked Lakeville for many reasons: economic development, city safety departments, general quality of life I saw in the city. Since I was looking for a townhome, I knew about the storm shelter ordinance, and that was another reason I picked Lakeville. This is a very important feature in a slab home. Community shelters don't work. I will explain why in a minute. Safety should never be compromised or put in the category of saving a few bucks. With climate change, our springs and general storm seasons aren't going to get any less active, so this isn't the way to save money. We need to continue to give our citizens a safe haven to protect themselves. I lived in Wichita, Kansas for 10 years, and not only am I a storm spotter, but lived through my share of bad storms and tornadoes. One event in particular will explain my opinion on community shelters. In 1984, I lived in a new trailer home in a nice trailer community in Wichita. One evening, a line of severe storms was approaching Wichita and our area. My wife at the time was at work, and I was home alone with our six-month-old miniature Schnauzer puppy. The tornado sirens sounded, and the skies were black, and the wind was gusting. There was a reported tornado just northwest of us, so I decided to go to our shelter, a block and a half from our lot. But another issue was that pets were not allowed in the shelter, so I remember sitting there, a kid at 21, alone, wondering if I should chance it in the trailer or go to the shelter. I didn't want to leave my pup. As the storm worsened, I panicked and decided to go to the shelter. With a picture of my scared puppy's face in my head. When I got to the shelter, everyone was trying to get in at once. We finally got in. The scene was chaos. Kids screaming and crying, adults yelling at their kids, and the whole floor was covered in crickets, dead and alive. Obviously not clean for a few days. I stood there for 5 minutes and couldn't stop thinking about my pup and decided to get out of that place and go back with her, and I did. Thank God the tornado didn't hit us. But this experience showed me that this isn't the way to go. We need a safer alternative. I was never without a basement after that. Having an inside and convenient shelter is the way to continue to keep our residents safe. No amount of money saved can replace a lost family member. I can't believe this is even being considered, especially now when so many slab townhouses are going up. I hope this isn't because a home builder complained. That would be an irresponsible decision to make for our citizens. We have a fire department, smoke detectors are required, as well as CO2 detectors. We have fire hydrants on every street. Should we consider making these optional to save money? How many citizens actually use these in their lifetime? Of course we wouldn't. They are there to protect us in case the worst happens. And that is what storm shelters and basements do for us and should not be taken away. How are you going to feel if you vote to stop shelters and down the road we do get hit by a tornado or a storm that destroys a townhome without a shelter? And someone gets seriously hurt or killed when a shelter would have saved this person, but money was your concern. So please do the correct, responsible, and humane thing and keep the shelter requirement. Contact FEMA and see if there is a less expensive and safe alternative. Technology continues to improve. These type of shelters don't act until you have all the facts, not because it's a way to save money. That is a sad, selfish idea. Says it all, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Does anyone have anything else to add? If not, we may be ready for a motion.
Mr. Chair.
Commissioner Swenson.
Following staff's direction to make the motion in a affirmative manner, I move to recommend to City Council approval of the zoning ordinance amendment concerning storm shelters as presented.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, Penny, will you please call the roll?
Swenson.
Nay.
Morovich.
Nay.
Lillehei.
Nay.
Kaluza.
Nay.
Witte.
Nay.
Dronning.
Nay.
Director Morey, when will this go in front of City Council?
At their September 16th meeting.
Thank you very much. With that, fellow commissioners, you have a copy of the staff notices in your packet. And just a reminder, we have a work session in the Marion Conference Room. And for those that may be watching, just a reminder that our work sessions are open to the public, just like these meetings. So if you want to come observe, you're more than welcome to. With that, we are adjourned.